Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, well, we're back again. We're going to be talking about ending the cycle. This is chapter 2 of the message. So let's pray, and then we will get into the message. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that by your spirit, by your word, and by your power, we have been made new and set free from the chains of the enemy. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us in this moment, in this season. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So I wanted to read another passage of scripture that just kind of keeps us focused on why it is we're doing what we are doing. So we want to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And it says here, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly, so do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus then answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, likewise a Levite. And he arrived at the place and came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will pay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, of course, this is the what we call the story of the Good Samaritan. And the reason I put this story in here is because if you know the history of the Jewish people, and you see this when Jesus met the woman at the well, Jesus said, she asked Jesus when he asked her for a drink, she said, you're a Jew, and what are you doing talking to me as a Samaritan? There was an animosity between the Samaritans and the Jewish, or the southern kingdom of Israel. And so when Jesus took this story and used the Samaritan to demonstrate the love that we have for our neighbor, it was an offense to the man that he was talking to, because he used somebody that was despised. And so, well, the reason I'm using that story is because there's people that we despise, but God can turn their life around and use them for his glory, just as he can with us. Amen. So we have to remember that as we go through the process of breaking the cycle. In order to break the cycle, we have to give up our own predispositions towards certain people. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But as I was going through this message, I was reminded of a song, and I'm going to just sing a little bit of it. And it's by Marvin Sapp, and it goes, He saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. And that's what we need to do. We have to know that God sees the best in us because he saw the best in me. Yes, he did. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. And we need to say that to ourselves. God sees the best in us when nobody else can see it. Amen? So as we go through this process, we want to look at what is the enemy's plan. Well, Jesus said this about offenses, and this is what we're talking about. All the things that we're talking about, the violations, the abuse, the lying on, the mistreatment, all the things that people do as Jesus said in Luke 17:1 and Matthew 18:7, offenses will come. People are going to offend us. We are going to offend others. Offenses will come. And therefore, the question is not if they're going to come, it's how are we going to deal with it? Again, we have to remember that God did not send us to be governed by our offenses. And see, this is the struggle that we have as people on the earth. When bad things happen to us, we allow those bad things to shape our image. We allow those things to shape our understanding or our image of God. We allow those experiences to shape how we look at, you know, our father, our mother, our brothers, our sisters in the natural and also spiritually. And also we allow those experiences to shape how we view the church. But it has never been the plan of God to allow our negative experiences to dictate how we respond to other people. And this is the cycle that we have to break, because whatever happens to us on a negative side, we tend to project those things onto other people. So for instance, if we had a bad church experience, and somebody stole our money in the church, or somebody mistreated us, or somebody lied on us, or somebody did even worse than that, well, then we didn't say that all church folk are wrong. The church is just a bunch of hypocrites. And, you know, we've all heard the story. But that's not the way things are supposed to be. Everybody has groups that misrepresent what it is that group stands for. The Bible says in one story in the Old Testament, God said to, I think it was David, when he fell into sin, he says, you have given the Gentiles an occasion to blaspheme me because of your behavior. And that's what happens when the church offends people. We give them the opportunity to blaspheme the God we serve because they look at us as a representative. And no, we're not perfect. And I know we're supposed to do the best we can as the Spirit leads us, but we know that people fall short. But nevertheless, this is part of the ending the cycle. We're not supposed to project our hurt, our tragedies, our bad experiences, our offenses onto the group that may be represented by the individual who offended us. Amen? So we want to look at a couple of things. What are the things that the enemy tries to attack? The first thing, and this is the most important thing we need to understand, that the devil does causes people to offend us so that we could learn to not trust God. That is the main purpose of offenses. And think about it. Everybody who gets hurt, everybody that's offended, everybody that, you know, bad things happen to, they always blame God. Even people that don't believe in God. Why? If there was a God in heaven, how come all this stuff happened to me? And they don't believe in God. They don't pray to God. They don't even seek God, but they blame God for everything. But let me remind us that we live in a fallen world, a world that is full of sin, a world that preys on the vulnerable. And we talked about that last week. So God is not the blame. He's trying to help you come out of what has happened to us. Amen? So we have to remember the enemy wants to attack trust. Not just trust in God, but go down the list. If you've been offended by some, say if you're a woman, a man, then you don't trust men. If you're a man and you've been offended or mistreated by a woman, then you don't trust women. If you've been offended or mistreated by your mother or your father, then you have trouble with a father-parent relationship, mother-father relationships, all those things. Those are designed by the enemy to help you, to make you mistrust people. And God does not want us to live in a world where we can't trust him. And that's why a lot of us struggle with faith, because faith requires trust. You have to surrender your will. You have to surrender your ability to do something to God and allow him to do what you can't do. And when your trust has been violated on many occasions, it's very difficult to trust people. And we know if from the beginning, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the devil's first attack was not on Adam and Eve, but it was on God's word. It was on the promise God made. God, it says, well, did he tell you not to eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden? He said, well, he knows that if you do, that something, you're going to be like him. So he's trying to keep something from you. So he's already throwing a lack of trust in the face of God on Adam and Eve. So he always wants to cause us to not trust those that have offended us, those that have caused us harm. He also wants to project that lack of trust to God. And we have to be careful. We have to break that and not allow that to happen. Now, it's not easy. Let's be honest. This stuff I'm talking about is not easy stuff to get over. It's not easy to learn to trust people again. But you have to learn to trust God. And as you trust God, you have to pray and ask God to help you to trust other people. And you have to find people that are trustworthy. Let's be honest. Everybody is not worthy of trusting. Amen. We talked about the con man that I got duped by. Those people were not worthy of trust. And there's people that are out there that are not worthy to be trusted. But you cannot, the double negative, you cannot not trust everybody. Somebody you have to trust. Let me just put it this plainly. Well, we always talk about trusting. Well, how many do internet purchases? Well, you have to trust that the site you're on is not a crooked site, that they're not going to steal your money, and that they're going to send you products that you haven't seen, touched, tasted, smelled, or handled. But we buy stuff on the internet all the time. There is a trust factor in that. You might say, well, that's just for products. No, yes, it's true, but it's still a trust. We have to learn to trust. In order to function in this world, we have to trust people. Amen? The next thing he does in the midst of offending us, he causes us to, he confuses our identity. See, when we fall, and we talked about this, when somebody does something that is extremely offensive to us, and I'm not just talking about they say words to us. I'm talking about when they physically harm us, or maybe I'm not talking just words like they call you a bad name. I'm not talking about just that, but a process of where they constantly beat you down and tell you you're nothing and all those things. And then as that happens to us on a regular basis, we don't know who we are. We start to believe the rhetoric that we hear, or we believe the things that they've called us, or we believe that we're supposed to be what they're trying to make us. And this is why people struggle with identity. This is why people have no confidence, what they call lack of self-esteem. All these things are designed to wreck who you are. But remember, we're not what we are, what we do. We're not just what we make. We're not what we drive. That's where most people find their identity. We're not even the clothes that we wear. But we are who God says we are. We are His children that have been redeemed by the blood of His Son. He has given us a new name. Our church is called the New Creation. And our scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. No matter what you did, what happened to you, what you did to others, God says that old stuff has been passed away, and now He's given you He's made you a new creation. Some parts of the Bible calls that He has given you a new birth, which is called being born again. We are no longer the person that we were before we met and accepted Christ. But people that don't have this identity in Christ, or maybe they had it and it's been confused, they don't know who they are. They don't know what God wants them to do and all those kinds of things. But start with who you are. Start with the fact that God knows you by name and He loves you. Knowing all that you've done, God loves you. And that's the most important thing. Unconditional love from the Father in heaven. And that should give you enough confidence to know, well, if God loves me, I must be lovable. Stop walking around thinking that, well, I'm not lovable. That's why people tend to abuse me. I'm not worthy. That's why I keep getting into these bad ones. No, all that is the devil. That's what he wants you to think. But he doesn't want you to think about what God says about you. The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're not the lower, the scum of the earth. We are the high creation of God. And we have to understand, not to bring pride into it, but to understand our position. Notice angels are never always worried about who they are. They don't come down here in heaven and say, well, I'm Gabriel, and God, I don't know why God's, they don't have those issues that we have. They just do what God tells them to do because they know who they are. And we have to learn from not only the angels, but the Word of God, that we are God's prized possession. So prized are we that God sent His Son to get us back into His family. Amen? Now, I have a scripture here that seems to not relate to what I'm saying, but it does in an indirect way. So let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. And this says this, and he answered, let's start at 3. It says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? So first of all, God made us male and female. A lot of people want to try to confuse that issue, but that's not an issue that's been confused. I'm still waiting for the third gender, but there isn't one. God made us male and female, amen? And then he says, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So here we have identity created in who God created us, and then marriage is identified as an eternal union or a lifelong union between a man and a woman, joined together, separated from our parents to create an identity or a unit or a family, starting with the husband and the wife. And if you're not married or if you're not, you know, trying to create a family in that union, then you're still created in His image. It says God made them male and female. You are in the image of God. We have enough to support us and the lift us up out of the mire and the muck to understand that we are the creation, the crown jewel creation of man, of God that is put in placed upon the earth. So we have to understand that our identity is because of who God is and what God has done in us. So we can't allow things that happen to us to bring confusion to our identity. Amen? Next, we want to look at the third thing is he also tries to help as we are injured, as we're hurt. The first thing we do is we want to isolate ourselves. We want to get away from people. And there's so many people now, they're so isolated that they don't talk to anybody, they don't get around people, and they don't do a lot of things. But let me read a scripture that I came across, and that actually surprised me when I found this scripture. So it's in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. And it says this: a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Now, listen to that and think about it. People who get away from themselves and you try to say, you need to get away, get out and to get mingle a little bit. And they get mad about that because they like to, or they think they like to be by themselves, but nobody was created to be on them by themselves. Even at the beginning, when God had not created Eve, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. People need other people. That's why this quarantine is such a hard thing, because now people can't interact with other people physically. Now you can call people and all that kind of stuff and do FaceTime and all the things that are out there, but you can't touch people like you used to touch people. People need people. And in order to get healed, get healthy, and not allow the enemy to miss and abuse you in by yourself. See, the thing about it, when you're by yourself, you're susceptible to thoughts that become delusional. You start thinking things that are not true, and there's nobody there to correct you. And the enemy can just continue to bombard you with confusing thoughts, confusing identity, telling you this and telling you that. And we all know this. And the enemy then, the longer you're staying with just by yourself, the enemy can play with your mind. And, you know, before you know it, you're thinking things, you're believing things that not even exist in existence. But because you're by yourself, because you're not interacting, the enemy has full reign in your life. So you have to not isolate yourself. Now, let me say this too. It's not to mean that you're not supposed to ever be alone. We need to be alone, but when we're believers, we get alone to be with God. We don't just get alone to be by ourselves. But God, we've been talking about God speaking to us. We get alone to pray and ask God for direction, to give us words so that we can move out in our day and so that we know how to function. So we don't want to be isolated, but we also want to also have time to reflect on what's going on in our lives. There's one thing to reflect on what's going on, and then another thing to ruminate and germinate and stay with all this stuff and always stay thinking about the same old, same old. You got to get out of that cycle, amen? And then the fourth thing, and then we'll close after this, through bad experiences, he wants to make us bitter toward the people who harmed us and others in similar roles. The only reason why the enemy would use a pastor to harm another person is so that you won't trust pastors ever again. The only reason the enemy uses your father, your mother to do harm to you or do harm or offend you is so that you won't want to be like them ever again in your life. But the reality is that that's not the way you're supposed to work your life. Just because, I don't want to make this light of this, because of the offenses that some of us have gone through are extremely difficult to work through. But remember this, nothing is impossible with God. If you allow God to take the hurt, He will remove the pain that we've experienced. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And most of us, that read the scriptures understand and have read this passage many times. But let's go to it real quickly. It's Hebrews 12, 15 says this. Let's start with 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We don't want bitterness to spring up in our lives. What happens when you're offended? What happens when you're hurt? What happens when you carry these hurts throughout your life? You become bitter. You become hard-hearted. You become, unwielding. You become unloving. You become ungracious. All these things, and that's the root of bitterness that springs up in our hearts. We don't want our lives to be, like I said earlier, to be determined by our pain. We want it to be determined by the renewal of our lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus is supposed to be the determiner, the one that determines our destination, not our pain. And until we give up our pain, he can't heal it. He can't do anything with us. Amen? So we will close this out next week. We'll talk about how to get over these things. But these are the four things that the enemy wants to use to get at us. He wants to first take away our trust of people and God, bring confusion to our identity, try to make us isolate ourselves, and he wants us to be bitter about everything that's happened so that we don't interact or mingle or trust people. But the devil is a liar, and there is no power that he has over us unless you've given it to him. Amen? So notice how in the beginning, and I'm getting ready to close, the devil did not take from Adam and Eve. He had to trick them. He didn't come and say, I'm the devil and I got power over you and I'm going to. No, he always has to try and deceive you. And until we give him power over us, he can't use power over us. That's what is called our will. Our will determines what we will do, whether we follow the enemy, follow God, or just follow our own flesh. But our will makes that determination. So as long as we don't yield to him, he has no power. So in order for us to undo or break the chains or break the cycle, if you will, we have to undo our yielding to the enemy and begin to yield to God. Amen? So Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. We thank you for penetrating the hearts of those that have been suffering from offenses that maybe happened many, many years ago. But Lord God, there is no time concept with you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, today is the day for freedom. So Lord, we command these burdens, we command these offenses to be broken. The chains that the enemy tried to use to bind up people, we command that they be broken. Lord, you said that you came to set the captives free. And so, Lord, we proclaim, as you proclaimed, liberty to those that are been captivated. We pray peace to those that are in confusion. We pray healing for those that need healing. And we command freedom from every demonic influence that the enemy's trying to use to captivate your people and those that don't know you yet. And we command them to come out of the darkness and come into your marvelous light. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for victory. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.